Thus checked by the doorkeepers Jayamvijay, Sananda and the other great sages very angrily cursed them. "You two foolish doorkeepers," they said. "Being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you are unfit to live at the shelter of Madhudvisa's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. It would be better for you to go immediately to the material world and take your birth in a family of most sinful asuras." Repetitively. "Thus checked by the doorkeepers, Jayamvijay, Sananda and the other great sages very angrily cursed them. You two foolish doorkeepers," they said, "being agitated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, you are unfit to live at the shelter of Madhudvisha's lotus feet, which are free from such modes. It would be better for you to go immediately to the material world and take your birth in a family of most sinful asuras." Text number 39. Evam shapto svabhavanat patanto to kripalubi prakto ponajama birvam tribilokaya kalpatam. While Jayamvijay thus cursed the sages, they were falling to the material world. They were addressed as follows by the same sages who were very kind to them. "O doorkeepers, after three births you will be able to return to your positions in Vaikuntha, for then the duration of the curse will have ended." Text number 40. Jagyate to dite putrao daicha dana vavandito Hiranyakashipu jesto Hiranyakshanujastataha. These two associates of the Lord, Jayamvijay, later descended to the material world, taking birth as the two sons of Diti, Hiranyakashipu being the elder and Hiranyaksha the younger. They were very much respected by the Daityas and the Danavas, the demoniac species. 41. Hato Hiranyakashipu Harinashima Rupina Hiranyakshodaro Dare Bibrata Shukaramvapu. Appearing as Nrisingadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srihari, killed Hiranyakashipu. When the Lord delivered the planet Earth, which had fallen in the Gardapa Gobodaka ocean, Hiranyaksha tried to hinder him, and then the Lord as Varaha killed Hiranyaksha. Hiranyakashipu putram praladam keshava priyam jigam sura karanana yatana mrityu hetave. Desiring to kill his son, who was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Hiranyakashipu tortured him in many ways. Text 43. Tam sarva bhutanam bhutam. Tam sarva bhutatma bhutam prashantam samadarshinam Bhagavate jisapristam nashaknodantam udyame. The Lord, the super soul of all living entities, is sober, peaceful, and equal to everyone. Since the great devotee Prahlad was protected by the Lord's potency, Hiranyakashipu was unable to kill him, in spite of endeavouring to do so in various ways. Purport. In this verse, the word sarvabhutatma bhutam is very significant. Ishvara sarvabhutanam ridadeshe arjuna tishtati. The Lord is equally situated in the core of everyone's hearts. Thus he cannot be envious of anyone or friendly to anyone. For him everyone is the same. Although he is sometimes seen to punish someone, this is exactly like a father's punishing his child for the child's welfare. The Supreme Lord's punishment is also a manifestation of the Lord's equality. Therefore, the Lord is described as Prashantam Samadarshanam. Although the Lord has to execute his will properly, he is equipoised in all circumstances. He is equally disposed towards everyone. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjanan Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukum Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yatkri Pataraham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataniram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pichanare Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Fastichade Shutanire Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. It's always very humbling to give class to all the Vaishnavas. So this is very interesting, actually, this narration. In fact, this chapter, which I did forget to mention, is entitled The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Actually, very interesting. These two demons, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Rupa Goswami actually mentions that the avatar of Rahu who killed Hiranyaksha and the avatar of Lord Varaha who lifted the, who saved the earth, are actually two different avatars. Although in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sukadeva Goswami actually describes them all in one pastime. But according to Rupa Goswami, there are actually two different circumstances, two different avatars of the Lord. So I thought it was interesting. So Srila Prabhupada, he mentions that our conception of the Lord's partiality to one living entity and being favourable or unfavourable to another living entity is basically due to our material concoctions. Actually, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that anything inauspicious or auspicious in this world is due to our material concoction. And that actually there isn't anything auspicious in this material world at all. The example is given that if you have a very nice, wonderful cup of sweet rice, it may be possessed of all the good stuff. But as soon as you put even a dash of sand inside, then the whole thing becomes spoiled. So, in this way, though, we may, mental concoction, we perceive that there are in us, there are auspicious things in this world, but actually everything is spoiled due to material conception of life. And that the only real auspicious thing is Krishna consciousness. I mean, this is quite a heavy statement, but Srila Prabhupada makes innumerable, very strong statements just to get the message across. Again, it is mentioned that we should never see, the Lord as a human being. Although he might look like a human being, I think even in the Bible, isn't it? It's said that man was made in the same shape as God. Right? If you see Krishna, he has two arms and legs. So we have this idea that actually, you know, he's like an image of us, or, you know, Mayavad philosophy, basically, isn't it? Mayavad, they think that this is the difference between the impersonalists and the Mayavad. Is the Mayavad, the impersonalists, I think the Fulkumaras at a certain point were impersonalists, if I'm not wrong. But the difference is the impersonalists, although they may be have an impersonal conception, they're not necessarily offensive in that sense, that they may even accept the Supreme Personality, but for some reason they're more attracted to the impersonal features. However, a Mayavad is basically someone who thinks that Krishna is devotee, and the activity of devotional service are actually all Maya. Or Bhakti, the Bhakta, and Bhagavan, in other words, are all products of Krishna's external energy, or in other words, the material nature. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that our idea that the Lord is more favorable to one person and less favorable to another is based on having this material conception of the Lord's activities. The Lord, his activities are always under the purview of his internal energy. And because he's the cause of everything, the source of everything, we perceive him being, of course, he is favorable to his devotee, but again, the example is given, just for example, like children, we may love all children. You know, if we see, just like, I have mentioned this before, but since it's the topic and the discussion, some years ago now, actually, in Africa, there was this photograph taken of this starving child. And you can imagine the picture, you know, thin, starving, black child on the floor. And it's a very famous photograph, actually. What happened is this child is crawling along the floor, and just behind him there's this big vulture just landed. Obviously, you know what a vulture is. These are creatures that look for dead or near dead living entities to eat. So the photo is that there's this child, and this big buzzard has just landed behind the child with big eyes, obviously ready to eat. And obviously this touched many thousands of people. It was a very moving concept. So in this way we can understand that if we see a child in that condition, then obviously we're not happy. It saddens many people. But even though that may be the case, still, we always have that special affection for your own. Right? Isn't it? Any parents will be able to confirm this. So in the same way, Krishna is equal to everyone, but he also has a very special affection for his own. And who are his own? The devotees. The devotees. That's why we have to be careful. Because here the great sages, having felt they were offended, right, by the devotees, thought because of their mentality, they're not fit to be here. So they cursed them. But of course the sages, also being kind, gave them a benediction that they would, at the end of their third birth, go back to Godhead. Their third birth was, anybody remember the first Hiranyakashipu? It was Kumbhakarna and Shishupal, yeah. So it's very interesting because Srila Prabhupada gives a very broad description. And he mentions that anyone, for any reason, who meditates on the form of Sri Krishna gets the same result. Very interesting, because we understand that personality, you know, so Rupa Goswami, for example, I believe, mentions that devotional service has to be favorable. It's done in a favorable mood. In other words, my dear Lord Krishna, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? What can I do that will satisfy the Lord? Devotional service. But it is also mentioned that different personalities also receive the same result by meditating on the Lord. That the Lord is so impartial, he has no friends and he has no enemies. The example, for example, would be, who do we have? It is mentioned that the gopis, they were very lusty for Krishna. And due to this lust, they were always thinking of him. But they attained perfection. Another personality would be, of course, Shishupal. If you notice these personalities, they attained Lord Krishna, even though they were very inimical and very critical. Simply because they were purely meditating on his form, they attained Krishna. So this is the Lord's impartiality. It doesn't matter who you are, as long as somehow, it's Prabhupada says, anybody, for whatever reason, whether you're lusty, whether you're inimical, right? If you're affectionate, for whatever reason, if anybody is constantly meditating on the form of Krishna, Krishna gives them the same result. So we might be thinking, well, that's not fair, is it? Right? And we're doing all these big austerities. Well, not as I do many austerities these days, but we're doing all these big austerities, and these demons, again, seemingly getting the same result, right? So it's not very fair, is it, really? But anyway, Krishna says that they surrender unto me, I record accordingly, isn't it? Just like if you see somebody suffering, somebody's just been smashed by an earthquake in the Caribbean, then you just have to understand, you reap what you sow. Full stop. It's a fair system, isn't it? Although sometimes, you know, people have the tendency to blame Krishna, isn't it? Why God's so kind, he's supposed to be so merciful, he loves us, why does this happen to me? Why, you know. But because people don't understand, acting in ignorance. Ignorance means activities in darkness. Activities in darkness means you can't see what you're doing. Isn't it? The example of the cinema. If you go to the cinema, I mean, what's the first thing that has to happen? Before you can enjoy the show, the lights have to go. In other words, before you can enjoy the show, you have to be placed in complete darkness, right? And then what happens is you lose sight of yourself. You lose sight of the person sitting next to you, who is, of course, sitting next to you in the heart. It's Krishna. You lose sight of him, and then you just become involved in this whole big phantasmagoria. This is called material life.
Okay,
Ashram Hanuman. Shishi Gaunitai. So it's the same for us in the material world. Before we can so-called enjoy the material world, or at least be placed under the mental speculation that there's something auspicious in this world, we have to be placed in darkness. And then what happens? We act in darkness. We do activities in ignorance. I mean, it's all about understanding the cause and effect relationships between things that are going on, isn't it? Just like, for example, we say there's been an accident, but reality is there's always a cause, isn't it? Accident means we just didn't mean it to happen or we didn't want it to happen. So to become enlightened means to switch the light on. Of course, as we know, as many devotees here sitting before me, great Sankirtan devotees are seated in this assembly. They'll be very soon to tell you if you approach someone and you try to switch the light on, what do? They start complaining, isn't it? Start moaning. I want to be in ignorance, thank you. But what they don't realize is that Krishna is just giving them what they've asked for. The problem is, we don't know what to ask. Because as Srila Prabhupada says, the material person, they don't know what to do and what not to do. They're completely bewildered. And then after they get some undesirable effect, not understanding the cause, then they start obviously criticizing, complaining, moaning, oh, the Lord is like this, the Lord is like that, why is this happening, this shouldn't be like this. But the reality is the Lord is very, very kind and is giving to you exactly what it is you ask for. So therefore it behooves us to understand what it is we should be asking for. Again, the demons, they meditate on the Lord's form, they get the same result. But the devotee, actually, or the purest stage of devotion, the devotee actually doesn't think like that. Because on the stage of actual devotion, the devotee is thinking, how can I satisfy the Lord? You see, this is the difference between devotion and the sort of demoniac meditation. I don't know if that's exactly the right word. If there's such thing as a demoniac meditation on Lord Krishna. But this is the mood of the devotee. He's not doing it because it's fair or unfair, or he's going to get this or he's going to get that. Really, the devotee is simply performing these things, performing this meditation, performing these devotional activities for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. And then what happens is, well, Krishna accepts you as his own. Under the shelter of the spiritual energy. It is Srimati Radharani, who, if recommends you to Krishna, we are instantly accepted. So our business is not to become following the footsteps of... of course, there are certain individuals who never attain even that, you know, even the slightest... it's not that like all demons. I mean, the example is given of... what's his name? King Vaina. Cruel Vaina, they used to call him, isn't it? Cruel Vaina, he was so cruel. After he finished playing with his friends, he used to strangle them and throw them in the river. You know, not the greatest company around. But actually, it's mentioned in the scriptures that the one good thing about him, King Vaina, is that when he was in power, there was no criminals. Everybody was scared of him. I mean, not that he needed an excuse to kill anybody. He used to kill people anyway. But the criminals, they were so terrified, they just completely left his kingdom. That's one good thing about him. In comparison to, today, criminals are dealt with very leniently, isn't it, in a lot of places. That's because Prabhupada says, generally, because the heads of state are criminals, so therefore, you know, criminals in the society will flourish. But when he was in power, they all fled because they were so scared of him. And that's how it should be. You know, criminals are criminals and should be. But anyway, he was so sinful, he just, apparently, according to the scriptures, he went directly to hell. Because he had no concept of the Lord. Well, he did, but he was never thinking about the form of Lord Krishna. So the difference between a demon like himself and Kamsa came out lucky, because although he was very inimical and hateful to the Lord, actually it said his mood was a mood of fear. That's another emotion. Out of fear, out of lust, out of envy, they attained Krishna because they were always thinking of his form. Of course, our business is not to think of the Lord in an envious, inimical way, but our business as devotees, or in my case, an aspiring devotee, is to always meditate favorably upon the form of Lord Sri Krishna, chanting his holy name, and in this way offer some favorable service and pray that Lord Sri Krishna will cast his all-merciful smile, his all-merciful glance upon us, and take us back home. Sometimes we say, oh, you shouldn't desire to go back. Or we ask the question, should we desire to go back to Godhead? Isn't it sometimes this question is asked, should we desire to go back to Godhead? Well, there are infinitely worse things to desire in this world, that's for sure. Right? I mean, you could be desiring, you know. But my favorite definition of a pure devotee is that Prabhupada's simple, very simple yet extremely profound definition, is that a devotee, a pure devotee, is someone who's simply interested, or has no other interest except practicing Krishna consciousness and going back to Godhead. That means, of course, no other interest. I mean, you know, it can be a tall order sometimes. No other interest. Practicing Krishna consciousness and going back home. Had enough. Wants to end the show, right? Wants to end the phasmatagoria, wants to come out of the darkness, wants to attain his real life, wants to attain his eternal position. No more diseases, no more old age, no more death. There's no death for the soul. Again, it's another mental concoction, isn't it? Relatives. It's like, is it Maharaj Chitraketu's son enlightened him? Well, the soul enlightened him. I'm your father. Which father? I've had millions of fathers. What are you talking about? I'm your father. No, you're not. Krishna's the father. That's. So I request the blessings of all the Vaishnavas that you give me your blessings, so that one day I may also come to this stage of desiring to do devotional service and going back to Godhead. Anyhow, there's just over 5 minutes left, so I'll end here. If there's any questions or comments, then please, Prabhu's.